apologize about the scheduling matters this week and canceling Tuesday this year, but hopefully we're get back on track today. We ended off last time discussing what, according to Moses and Machlokes, Rashi and Mordechai, as to whether in a situation where it's acceptable to be told of the makkah, does it have to be a makkah hayiduish ha-metzi adam, or is it sufficient to have knowledge of the makkah, even if you don't necessarily have knowledge that that makkah is metzi adam? That's what Beis Yosef understood, the Machlokes, the Shitas HaRashba, and therefore it ends up being Machlokes Rashba and the Mordechai. We know that according to the Shach, Shach thinks that there's really no Machlokes, even the Rashba agrees that you require Makkah Hayadua She Motzia Dam. We also mentioned the Ha'ara of the Chacham Tzvi, that the Maaseh Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah in Roa Kesem, sounds like you do need to have a Yediya She Makkah Motzia Dam. The fact that there was that Shach Vitari between Rabbi Akiva and the woman who came with the Shaila, where he asked if it's a Yachali Galea Velo Tzidam, and we discussed how to get out of that as well. Chazanish also, just to note, Chazanish in Simon Pei Aleph, Chazanish in Simon Pei Aleph also addresses this issue of a Chacham Tzvi, and he writes as follows, that the Maaseh Rabbi Akiva was talking about a Makkah that already healed, Aval Hacha Hanido B'Makkah Tria. But the nidon in our sugya of being told of the makkah where you see them, that's talking about a fresh makkah. The ein safek shestamo yesh b'fi adam. And if you know that there's a fresh makkah, there's no safek that the makkah fundamentally has dam within it. Ela she'ena muksekes l'shafei adam l'chutz. We just don't know, or it's not muksak, that the makkah pushes the dam out. In such a way that you find residue of that makkah, the dam from the makkah of biproser, which would be not mitamei. So Chazanish understood within the Rashba and the difference between our context and Rabbi Akiva's context. Here you have you know that it's a fresh makkah. You know that it's a makkah where there is dam muvla in the makkah. We just don't know whether the makkah is befoal mosi that dam. And there, according to the Rashi, we have a right to be tola. And again, that according to Moses and Machlokes, Rishonim, Rashba, and Mordechai. But the way the Chazanish understands, at least according to the Rashi, you still need knowledge that there is a makkah that is, as he says, stamo yesh v'fi adam, the makkah that the stam is that there is dam in that makkah. Okay, and as we also ended off with last time, the pashtus of stimas lashon and mechaberin sifei is that you don't need a makkah hayaduah shemotzi adam. The mechaber, which again was lashon and rambam, which is basically lashon and gemara, and yesh makkah b'osam makkah tol and b'dam makkah. So again, if you read the gemara, there's no indication in the gemara that there's any distinction between yaduah shemotzi adam and yaduah shemotzi adam. That's something you have to be shown him. So the Mechaber is so saying, the Stimul Slashen Ram and Stimul Slashen Gemara, that it could be told with Dam without, it sounds like, any further qualification. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Mechaber here, Aruch HaShulchan in Os Nevav. That's how Rav Avadya understands the Mechaber, and Rav Avadya, Taras Abayit, page Reish Lamed Beis, understands within the Mechaber that the Mechaber presumably is makel, or arguably makel, even by a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua. So even without a vest kavua, you could be told of the makasa, even if it's not a makkah, you do a shemotzi adam. Right? There's no vest kavua. You know that there's a makkah, but it's any of the shemotzi adam, you could be told on that makkah, even by a vest she'eno kavua. However, not everyone agrees with this understanding of the mechaber, and that's for two potential reasons. First, in Ilz Behuda, in Chuvas Madura Kama Yeredeya Simen Membav, Nod Behuda Yeredeya Kama Simen Membav makes a ha'ara that Lashon Mechaber is Tolin B'dam Makasa, as opposed to Tolin B'dam Makkah. So he thinks that there's a mashmos here in Dam Makasa, as opposed to Dam Makar, that this is a Makar we have some familiarity with already, and we have some knowledge that it is a Makar HaMotziya Dam. I'll just read you a line, again, Yerodea Simen Mem Vav. Hine, Emma Yakosei Tol in Adam B'Makar, Shabir Yamash M'Sh'ein Ami Yodin Vada Shemakar Motziya Dam. So he thinks that the mashmos of makasa as opposed to maka is that we have more of an intimate familiarity with this maka from beforehand. We know it to be a maka hamutsia dam. Now that's not necessarily the biggest raya. Number one, again, Mechaber is quoting Lashon HaRambam, and the Rambam is basically Lashon HaGemara. That's Lashon HaGemara, Dam HaKasa. So I'm not sure how necessarily strong a deal that alone is. Dam HaKasa implies a Makkah that we know is Mosi Adam. After all, that's just Lashon HaGemara. But that's what the Noda Yehuda points out. And then the Noda Yehuda says, point number two, this seems to emerge from Sif Zayin as well. Before we get to the Raya from Sif Zayin, Badr Shulchan points out in rejecting, or at least discussing the Noda Yehuda's Diyak, aside from what I said, that Makasa could just mean that it's, even if you're going to put stock into Makasa as a Diyak as opposed to Maka, Makasa could just be telling you it's this sug of a maka that could be motzi dam, but not necessarily that you know that this maka is or was motzi dam. Okay, so that may not be the strongest diuk necessarily, but then the Noda Yehuda says, take a look at Siv Zayin. So before we take a look at Siv Zayin, let's take a look at the source of Siv Zayin, which is Piskei Marai, the Pesachim of Tumas HaDeshen, Simin Mem Zayin. So whether or not the Tumas HaDeshen wrote the Shilas in the Tumas HaDeshen, he definitely didn't write the Shilas in Piskei Marai. This is a real Shilas addressed, and you have the name of the recipient. So the Shaila was about a certain woman where there's a makkah but it's not yadua in motzi adam. So he quotes the Mordechai that you require makkah hayadua shemotzi adam. And then he says, even though that's the case, in the nidon that he was asked, there are two studim lahatir. What is that? So he writes, number one, this is our focus. The history of this woman is, whenever she's doing bedikos, internal bedikos, Eina motzia osan ksamim usa'aros dakos bizeh hamaka. What does that mean? Resalomar, the b'makam echad matza la'ola. So, when she performs bedikos, there is a red dot, or whatever comes out on the bedikah cloth, is always in the exact same spot on the bedikah cloth. In Kain, also makam bitzadin. So, if when you do a bedikah and there's some red on the bedikah cloth, it's always on the side of the bedikah cloth. Saskei shfar l'tahir demuchat min hatzadin min hamakaba. So then it's likely there's a tzad, more of a tzad to be told that if you're doing a bedikah, and the dam always comes out somewhere on the side of the bedikah cloth, such that if the source would have been the makor, you would have expected to see more of a wider catchment area in the bedikah cloth, or you would have expected to see it more in the middle. The fact that it's on the side could be an indication that the source of the dam is min hatzadin and not Nina Makor. The Luchora Pesach Achader Leprozder Bemsa Prozder Hu, etc. explains the biology of why that makes sense, that if you see the dam on the side, it's likely that came min hatzad. So the nidan didan, shebishum pan enamutsia rakum akam ethnitzad. So the nidan that he's answering, addressing, where the dam always appears on the side of the bdika cloth. And even more so, if there's some irritation or some pain that she senses bitstadin that coincides with the insertion of the bdika cloth, she doesn't feel that kind of pain anywhere else internally. So that's al chacha, that this is dam min hamaka. So the Marai begins quoting the Mordechai. So he assumes in principle that the Mordechai that you need a maka yadua shem utzi adam. But yet, if you have this kind of presentation on the Ein Bedika, where you can somehow connect that to an a maka b'tzadin, even if it sounds like you don't have an idea that there's a makom b'tzadin per se, you can be makom with that kind of a tzliya. So that is the basis of what the Mechaber writes in Tifsayim. In kol zman shibo dekes b'chol achorim v'astakim, eina motzeis ksamim kiim b'makom ech b'tzadin. So when she performs bedikos, she only finds the dam in one place in the Eid Bedik on the side. Yesh litlos, shemi maka shabosat sad, to be told that in a maka minifstad, and not berechem, litlos shemi maka bosat sadva, v'kol shekein, im margeshes v'shas bedika, kishen ogas v'tzad amakam avu koiv l'tzas, v'shar konosaka, im margeshes keplal, that's what we just saw in the Piskei Merai. And even if you don't have the ke'ev test, that makes it better, but even if you don't have it, if there is a clear presentation on the Eid Bedika that the dam is only betzad in such a way that you can be tola betzadin, that's enough to be tola. So in the context of the Piskei Merai, is he talking about a case where you have a maka yadua shamotzi adam? So that's not Beferush, but he begins with the Mordechai that you need a Makai Duh Shemitzi Adam. And then he says this is a Tzad Lukula. So that's Vayker Machlokas among the Noseh Kelim Shachan Aruch and the Chubas. How do you understand Sif Zayin and that Chumas Hadesha? So the Taz in Sivkat and Yud, the long Taz, the Taz assumes that the Piskei Merai is still talking about a Maka Hayadua Shemutzi Adam. Because after all, the Trumas Hadeshah began by saying, we pass like the Mordechai, you need a Maka Hayadua Shemutzi Adam. So you have a Maka Hayadua Shemutzi Adam, just in this case, the presentation is what gives you more leverage or more reason to be tola on that maka. And that's what the Nod Yehuda says, aside from his diuk of makasa versus maka and sifei, he says if you look at Sif Zayin, isn't Sif Zayin a clear indication that the Mechaber also acknowledges you need a maka to do a Shemitzi Adam, because the Mechaber is paskining the Shemitzi Adeshem and Piskei Merai, and the Piskei Merai, his starting point is that we assume like the Mordechai, and he doesn't back off of that. So that's what the Nod Yehuda says. If you read Sif Zayin and you see where Sif Zayin is coming from, then that indicates that according to the Mechaber, you put everything together, according to the Mechaber, you need a Maka Yadua Shemotzi Adam. And what about those that understand the Mechaber and Sifei differently? What we began with is what seems to be Stimas Lashon Mechaber and Sifei, that there's no indication of any chiluk, there's no need for Macha Yadua Shemotzia Dam. So some of the other Rachmanim explain Rabbi Kidager has this in Madura Kama Simin Samach Aleph. Madura Kama Simin Samach Aleph. And others, if you look in the Koral Azav, is a contemporary work on the Taz, one volume that has on both the Shach and the Taz, like a super commentary. So he quotes other Rabbanim say like this part, this Yomodim and others, that no, they understood in the Mechavers of Zion, that he understood in the Pisgah Merai, this is not a case of Malkei Dushim and Siyadam. The Pisgah Merai acknowledges himself that as a starting point, he assumes like the Mordechai. But if you have this case over here where you're doing Bedikos, he says if it's a Malkei Dushim and Siyadam, you can be told on the Maka, why are you doing Bedikos at all? And the Pisgah Merai is telling you a case where you could be tola even if it's not a Malkei Dushim and Siyadam. That would mean to say that the Mechaber is paskening part of the Pisgah Merai without the full... the Pisgah Merai himself is paskening like the Mordechai principle. So do you understand that when he has this din of you see Dam and the side of the Ebedika, so can that stand alone as a tzad lahakel, even without the Mordechai, even if you're... can you assume that in principle you don't need a Makkah Dushim and Siyadam, you just need Yediyah that there's a Makkah? And then the added cool here in Sif Zayin is that even if you don't know that there's a Makkah, but if the presentation on the Eid Bedika is such that it indicates a Makkah, you can be told on that alone, even without the idea that there's a Makkah.
That there's a Makkah?
Yeah.
Meaning B'chlal.
B'chlal.
If
you assume,
like,
I'm sorry?
Is that kind of what it sounds like in
Is that what it sounds like in Sisayan? It may be what it sounds like in a vacuum, but it's not what it sounds like if you read the Mordechai. Meaning, if you read the Mordechai, read the Pisgah Merai, simple reading the Pisgah Merai is that his starting point is to like the Mordechai. This is all working within the Mordechai in 2nd Michael. But if you're going to assume that, no, the Mechaber paskins that you don't need a Makkah Dushim and Siyadam, so then what's the Chiddush in Sisai? And then the Chiddush has to be, even if you don't have a Makkah Dushim and Siyadam, you, in this case, where the presentation indicates a Makkah, you can be told on the Makkah independently. Yeah.
Once we assume the Chiddush that there is a Makkah there, So then obviously it's Motsiyadam, because it's Siyadam that is coming from the Makkah that we're assuming is there.
No, so if you assume we'll call this straightforward reading of the Pisgah Merai, they say, in principle, you always need a Makkah Hayadua Shemetziyadam. But here, even if you have a Makkah Hayadua Shemetziyadam, and you're doing a Bedika, Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, so I misspoke slightly. So the way, let's start again. Okay, the way the Noda Yehuda says it, and it's very bekitzer in the Pesachei Tshuva in Sifkatan Lamed Zion. Right, the way the Noda Yehuda says it is like this. The way that we read the Pesachei Marai is that in general you need a Maka Yedua Shemetzia Da. The tzir where you have the dam on the periphery of the bedikah cloth consistently, indicating that there's a makah b'tzadin, that's the halacha that we treat this as a makah yidu shemotzi adam. Right? You know that there's a makah. You know there's a makah there. You don't know otherwise that it's motzi adam, but the fact that it appears on the periphery of the bedikah cloth consistently, that's an indication that that makah we treat as a makah yidu shemotzi adam.
But you would need to know
that there's a makkah, but not that it's Yadua Shemetzia Dam. But this presentation on the Bedikah cloth is what's mochiach that is considered makkah hayadua Shemetzia Dam. Thank you. So let me restate everything in context. So, okay, good. So the Noda Yehuda understood. The Mechaber Sifei Makasas Mashma that you need a Makkah Yedua Shemetzia Da. And further Raya from Siv Zayin, which he understands based on the Piskei Marai, where the Piskei Marai is saying that you always need a Makkah Yedua Shemetzia Da according to the Mordechai, based on the Mordechai. But if you have this presentation of Bedikah cloth and you know there's a Makkah, you just don't know otherwise objectively that it's Shemetzia Da, the presentation that it's on the side of the Bedikah cloth is a Hachacha that it's a Makkah Yedua Shemetzia Da. And the other understanding of the Mechaber, if you assume, like those Achronim that understand, we saw the Aruch HaShulchan, that Stima Sloshan and Mechaber in Sif Hey is that it's a Makah, you don't need a Makah Yedua Shemetzia Da. So then the Din in Sif Zayin is telling you that if you have this kind of a presentation, then you could be tola on there being a makkah potentially, even if you don't know of the existence of a makkah. Or, and this is what Rabbi Kadeger says, if you understand that according to the Mechaber, there might be a distinction between being told in a makkah she'ena yadu shemetzi adam, between a vest kavua and a vest she'ena kavua, and if you assume like that Bach's distinction, the distinction of the Bach, that you could only be told on a Maka she'ena yadua shemetzia adam if there's a vest kavua, but we mentioned before, Ravadi assumes the Mechaber doesn't distinguish. But if you were to distinguish between being told a maka she'ena yadua shemetzia adam, between if you have a vest kavua and a vest she'ena kavua, so then what the Mechaber could be saying in Siv Zayin is that if you have this indication, then even by a woman that doesn't have a vest, you could be told on a maka she'ena yadua shemotzi adam. That's what Rebbe Kveger says. Yeah, Yaakov.
The Shomron said Piskei Marai like that?
Say it again?
Rebbe, that, Here you're saying that the Shulchan Aruch understood the Pesukim Ra, Pesukim Ra, that is, that he didn't hold like the, that he, like, I mean, who, this is Shulchan Aruch in himself, or like how?
Well, this is explaining the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, and that would mean to say that the, that this, that cool of the Marai exists independently of his Shita about Makai Dushim and Tziyada. That there's a...
It's like a dish of kula, like, separate aside.
That it could exist independently. Again, the simple reading of the Pesach of Marai is that it's all connected, that this is a kula building on, even though if you need, even though in general you need a Makai Dushim and Tziyada. But if you have this presentation, you know there's a maki, you just don't know that it's Motzi Adam, then that's enough to be told on.
Is there a way to understand the Shulchan Aruch if you're saying that even if you don't know there's maka there at all, if you consistently see down in one particular place, you could just assume there's a maka there?
Right, I think we're saying that it's one possibility.
That's not what
Kivegar says. I'm saying that you could say that if...
You never need a maka Motzi Adam.
Right. And here, you have a kula, even if you don't know that there's a makka, that you could be tola if you have this kind of presentation.
So you have two ways to understand the Shulchan Aruch, not like...
Right. Okay, so this is all as far as the Pesach of the Mechaber. But as we saw, the Rama paskind, the calls of the Isha Sheyesh Leves Kavua, the Oz Yichola Litlo Shalom Bishas Vesta B'Makasa, Alpha Pisha Eidi Yodas B'Vadai Shemakasa Motzi Adam. This, a woman has a ves kavua, then you can be told a shelo b'shas vesta on a maka she'enu yadua shemotzi adam. So if you understand that stima slushan mechaber is that you could always be told in a maka she'eni yadu shemotzi adam, the Rama says you could only be told in a maka she'eni yadu shemotzi adam if a woman has a ves kavua and she sees dam shelo b'shas vesta. So as we explained previously, or again as we said, the Chavistas and the Chasam Sofer, that a vest shlili may also have the same status as a vest kavua for these purposes of being told the makash eni dushim etzi adam. But as we noted in the previously, so according to the Bach's understanding of the Mordechai, and that distinction between between a woman that has a vest kavua and a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua, so this Rama is going like the Mordechai, and making that distinction between a woman with a ves kavua and a woman without a ves kavua, that you could be tola the maka she'eni yadu shemotzi adam if a woman has a ves kavua. And we also discussed the shach over here, that the kula of the Rama that you could be told that the maka she'enu yadua shemetzi adam is only relevant as far as rodan machmas tashmish, but not relevant as far as after the baila, not relevant to relieve a woman from having to go through the tara process. So the shaf explained what's the basis of that distinction. Again, that was the shaf's understanding of the Mordechai, which was the bigger kula that Shalom Shas Vesti could be told even if there's no mak at all. But working within the Ramah, where the Ramah doesn't go that far, the Ramah says you need at least a maka yadua, you need at least a maka, even if it's any yadua shemetzi adam, Shalom Shas Vesta. But the shaf says that the fact that you could be told the maisa on a maka she'eni yadua shemotzi adam, that's only as far as rov machmas tashmish, not as far as the hetar l'baila. And explains the shach, that's because when it comes to rov machmas tashmish, mishumi guda hikilu, that if the consequence of being machmas would be that the woman's going to be asura l'baila l'olam, she'll have to get divorced, so here mishumi guda will be makel on the rov machmas tashmish angle to be told even in a maka she'eno yadua shemotzi adam, but maka she'eno yadua shemotzi adam still require shivin akim. Mishum biguna. If you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger here on the page, Rabbi Kiva Eger says something else. Mishum biguna ikilu on the shach. Bila pachi yesh lomar, the levaila, the iser rak, the kevin the huchzaka liros machmas tashmish shema tira b'shas tashmish to invest the hali rak rabban. To the kind of invest the rabban. The says samchina lahaka lit los b'maka avlinin shivnakim los samchina. So Rabbi Kiva says, as we mentioned in the first year, that the reason for our position of Rav Machmas Tashmish, the reason to be Mafmir and Rav Machmas Tashmish eventually La'osra al-Baila, is because Rav Machmas Tashmish is a best, meaning it establishes a pattern that she always sees Dan connected to Tashmish. But in general, vest is the Rabbanan. So any consequence of a vest is only the Rabbanan anyway. So since we're talking about a Rabbanan, then we could be makel to be somech on a makash any yadua shemetzi adam. But when it comes to the requirement of shivin nekiyim, the tower process, we're talking about the raisas, so then we're not going to be makel, then we require the woman to go through the regular tower process, even if she is roa, even if she was roa machmas tashmish, and you contribute that to a makash any yadua shemetzi adam. Yeah. If a woman is Tanea, so then that's the Raisa, and then the requirement of Tara to become Torah is the Raisa. You're saying if she...
I'm saying, why should she have to go through the entire process? So she can tell on Dan Maka, and then only... I'm saying if we're making this a Darius or Darabana issue, can we just say that she should pull up on the Dan Maka, but only to the level of the Darabana, not to the level of Dereza, so she should have to go through the Dereza Tara process, no?
In practice, we never distinguish between a Dereza Tara process and a Derebanan Tara practice. And once we're saying that we treat her as Tamei, and she's Tamei and then a Torah, so then in practice, we go with whatever the realities of our post Reb Zeir and the Gunners Rebbe world are. But we're not going to... Yeah, so in practice, we don't have such distinctions. So again, the Shas says we should be Guna, and Kaveger says we're talking about the Raisas versus the Rabbanans. Yeah.
Just to clarify, those are two different reasons.
The Shas are two. That
as Mr. Rabbi Kaveger explained why the Shas thought that we could apply.
Correct. He's saying a different reason. That's correct. So Rabbi Forth points out, just to highlight your point, Yoni, Rabbi Forrest in volume 1, page 430, that woman afkamina be. So if you have any other context in which you have the amaka that's not a Ro Machmasashrish context, so can you be told in a maka shenya dua shemetziyadam? In order to have a woman who's having difficulty getting clean bidikos because of a maka shenya dua shemetziyadam. So if it's just Mishum Iguna, so then that's relevant here too. Because Mishum Iguna means you don't create a situation where the woman's going to be a Surilola. So if you have a woman that can never become Torah because she always has problematic bidikos, then Mishum Iguna is operative also. But if your chesed is just derisive versus the Rabbanon, so here we have a woman who is Tameya to begin with, and now she's having trouble getting clean bidikos. We're talking about the raisas, then you don't have license to be mekel. So Rabbi Forrest suggests that would be a machlokes between the shah and Rabbi Kaveh. How do we assume lemaisa? Do we accept the shah lemaisa that if you have a machlokes she'ena yadua shemetzi adam, that would be of no help as far as being netara woman? Labaila. So Piska Tshuva in Sivkat and Kavzayin quotes with another Yehuda who was Mekel against the Shach. But nevertheless, says that in practice, it's hard to be, Lamaisa is hard to be Mekel against the Shach. The question of the Yehuda that in principle he thinks that that's not Shan the Ramah. There's no indication in the Ramah of any such distinction. But the Nod Yehuda is reluctant to pass down the way Lamaisa against the Shach. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes as well, Sifkatan Kaf Gimel. That Lamaisa, you shouldn't be Sameich, you can't be Sameich on the Ramah against the Shach, unless there are other Tzadim Lekula, and it's a Shach Satchak Gadol, Shelo Lehotzi Isha Mibayla, in that situation where a woman can't become Tahora otherwise, so then you could entertain being Mekel like the Ramah against the Shach. Rav Avadya also, is no to lahakmer like the Shach because he found a sefer Eshkol that he thinks sounds that way, unless there's a tzorach gadol, or a case where a woman can't be mitar herself otherwise. The Aruch HaShulchan does write with Sagan Yaakov. The Aruch HaShulchan in Oth Nun Gimel and Oth Nun Zayin says that even though in principle we're machmer like the Shach, but hasomech al ramah lo hisid disvarosa bururos unikios. And that's what Rabbi Kar quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, that Rabbi Yashiv in a Shas Atak situation was willing to be mitzaref those that argue on the Shach, and mitzaref the Ramah against the Shach with other tzeirufim. Yeah, Yaakov.
The Shach is understand Ramah like that?
He's passing against Ramah, right. Ramah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now then, the Ramah has this Svek Sveka. The Chedim Eimla Veskavua, Vusafe Gimadam Balmin and Makormin of Sadin, Talina Mamaka Mikos Svek Sveka. There's no Veskavua. We don't know where the Dam's from. Svek Sveka. Safek Min of Sadin, Omin and Makor, Vintim Slomin of Makor, Shemahu Min Hamaka. We don't know if it's Minasad or Minamakor. even if it's been a makor, maybe it's not maka. Aval in yadua shabam min a makor, af v'shiyesh la maka b'makor, ena tolu b'maka, emein leves kavua, in kein yudas v'vada, shemakas v'tzeidam, then you don't have this sex veka. So the shach is very bothered by this sex veka. How does it conform to klali sex veka? Is it mishapik? Is it shemechad? Is it really the same suffix? Is it maka or is it not maka? So that's literature, how to understand the shach. There's another Yehuda, Dei Yardei Asim Mem Zayin. There's a Torah Sashlam in the beginning of Siman Kuf Sadi, Sivkat and Aleph. I'm not going to spend time on Hilchos Sex Veka. Yeah.
In terms of like shach in general, why would we choose to follow like an achron over from Ramah? Like, why are we
using shach? Is a shach.
I'm saying Ramah, like on the screen, it's like broader shoulders than the shach, no?
We're very deferential to the shach.
That's just because of being machmir?
No, I don't think so. Shach often argues in the Mechaber too, and we'll soon like the Shach. Very deferential to the Shach. Okay, now just look back at the Mechaber in Sifhei again. The second part of the Mechaber, which was the Gemara and Samach Lav, im dama kasa mishuna midam riyasa, ena tola dama kasa. So you don't have the right to be told of the damaka if the presentation of the dama you see isn't consistent with the presentation of damaka. Meaning, even if you know that there's a maka, but the presentation of the dam doesn't correspond to the presentation of damaka, then you have no right to be told on damaka because it doesn't fit. So there's a line in Ramban in his Hilchos Nida, Perek Gimel, Halacha Zayin. Perikim alach asayin. Haya ba maka tochos amakom barei adam shoseis. So if you have a maka b'makor, and the dam's coming out of the maka, yesh mi shahora shem nitarin asah fiul b'zman hazeh. V'yera li shem nitarin asah. And nowadays, there's no kula of damaka. You can't be told of damaka, even if you know there's a maka. Why? Sheimaya dama kasa mishuna midam riyasa tmeya dina tamud. So the din of the Gemara is that if dama kasa mishuna midam riyasa, you're out of luck. V'im kain pa'amim ata mevi yosanu lahakif v'livdok b'damim. So that's going to make us have to be makif and check shades of damim. And we don't do that anymore. As we'll soon we get to the sugya of Maros, that according to Ben Rishonim, we don't have that expertise anymore to be mafka between reds. So, if the din is that im dam makas mishuna midam riyasa, you're out of luck, we don't have the expertise to know whether it's mishuna midam riyasa or not. And then you have to be mafka. So the Ramban holds that this whole sugya of dam maka isn't relevant anymore. You have no right to be told of a makasa because we don't have the expertise to identify the shade of dam properly.
isn't that true by all tliyos? I mean, if I knew that the dam in the slaughterhouse was a different shape than the dam that she sees, then also I couldn't be told on that, right? In which case, wouldn't the Avami saying that there's no such thing as tliyos at all? That seems like a big
deal. I'm sorry? So the Gemara has this line specifically in the context of dam maka, that in dam makasim shinim dam riyasa. We don't have that as explicitly in the context of regular tliyos.
It wouldn't be true.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be true, but it's kind of the burden of proof. So, you know, where is the burden of proof? I think the Rabban would say that the Gemara is telling you that the fact that the Gemara has this line is telling you that the burden of proof is on the makel when it comes to damak. Plus other tliyos, or maybe the burden of proof is on the machmir, as long as you have a reasonable tliya, you have the right to be tola, unless you have credible evidence to the contrary. You can check if that's true. So that is the Ramban, that in practice you can't be tola b'dam maka b'zman hazeh. And most Rishonim argue, if that wasn't the case, we probably wouldn't have been spending as much time with the sukkah as we have been. The Rush, Perek Yud Simen Gimel, assumes that's not the case, l'halacha. And the default is that you have the right to be mekel, absent an indication to the contrary. Unless you have a raya that it is dam, that it is mishuna, then you have the right to be mekel. The default is you can be mekel unless you prove l'chumra. And take a look at the shach as well. So cut in your test. And dama kasa. Kasa rabbi magid, baran, barashba. Dafka she nisbara shehi mishuna. Halapati tol mamaka. It has to be nisbara that it's mishuna. Otherwise, by default, you're tol of the damaka. Why? L'fisha isha b'ches kastara medes. Chindas Arash, Delok Ramban. Umashma v'divrei Arash, she'eno tzarech laharis l'chacham, imhu mishuna. So, the fact that you have the right to be mekel, that the default presumption is that the dam is attributable to a maka, so Shach says that means you don't even have to ask the shayla. If you have a tola obol maka, and we establish the existence of the maka, and the fact that the tliya is a legitimate tliya, then you don't even have to ask the shayla. You don't have to ask whether it's mishuna or not. You have the right to assume that it's not mishuna, unless you know otherwise, and you don't even have to ask the shayla. If you look in the Torah Sashlamim here, Sukkot and Yudzayin, he quotes in the Tzemach Tzedek a contrary position that no, in fact, you do need to ask the Shaila. If you look in the Gilead Marashav, Shlomo Eger, he has a compromise. In Dam Akas Mishuna Midam Riyas, he quotes the Chuvah Tzemach Tzedek, that's the Kadmo, not the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he quotes Shmuel Yaakov, who made a pshara. The first three times, show it to the Chacham, and then you can rely on your own dimya. Meaning, if you have a maka, the first three times you have blood that's potentially attributable to a maka, yes, a shayla, and then the woman on her own can make the assessment going forward if the dam that she sees is comparable to the appearance of the dam that she asked the first Rishai was on.
Are we assuming permanence in this maka?
For the purpose of the Shvus Yaakov, he's assuming that, yeah, it's the same maka that continues to be mostly dam. Yeah.
Okay. Meaning, like, certain things, like, can just be treated and then you're not going to establish the kvius of the vestos that we had earlier.
Right. So he's talking about where you have this chronic maka that's not going away.
Right.
But, yeah, that heals, and you have another maka, then you start the clock again.
Right.
What does it help showing it to a chacham if we're not picky in whether it's Mishnah or not?
So all the Rishonim would argue in the Ramban assume that we are Bekiyan in this. What we're not Bekiyan in is establishing whether or be Mekel on reds that aren't one of the five shades that the Mishnah lists. But this is a different level of expertise where the default, you'd have to have the expertise. The expertise that is required over here is in the other direction, meaning al hamachmir lahavi raya. So you'd have to have the expertise to establish that this is a marim mishuna. So that's not connected to our lack of expertise in identifying shades of red. The default is that she's going to be Torah based on this maka, unless you have a degree of expertise to distinguish. I mean, that's, anyway, potentially it's a different set of skills. Okay. Yeah.
On Shemar Mekuv Tadi Sif Chof Gimel does say about a regular Cleo that you don't need to. I said what I asked before. He says that you don't need to know for sure. I mean, if it's like red versus black, then you can't make a clear. But if it's just red and red, you could assume it's that you'd be told until kind of proved otherwise.
So that was, no, that's true, Lalacha, but you're asking what I'm sorry?
That's not totally what you're saying, that if you have Ramban, it would just be that.
But I was saying that you have to say that for the Ramban.
Right, and that map would just be unique.
Right. I mean Lalacha. That's the same, because we're not the default by that Makar Yisum against the Ramban also. You're saying within the Ramban, that offhand, that distinction sounds correct. Take a look at the Shach in Sifkat and Kaf, which we already discussed. But one other Nakuda that's very relevant in Lahalacha. I'm sorry, let's scratch that for now. Okay, still in Sukkot in Yutes. So the Shach had a line there in Yutes that the reason for our orientation of being Mekel to assume that the Maka is Tola Avol, absent firm knowledge that it's Mishuna Midam Riyasa, is that this woman is Becheskas Tara Medes. So the starting point is that she has a Cheskas Tara. The Lashon of the Rashba in Taras Abayis, Kaf Gimel of an Aleph in the standard printing, the Nema Arvu Shetol B'Makasa, the Afel Gav Shedom B'Makasa L'Dam Riyasa, Lefi Shaisha Becheskas Tara Medes. So the reason that you're allowed to be told the Maka absent firm knowledge to the contrary, even though you should have said that Dam Maka and Dam Riya are in general close enough that you don't have the right to be Mekel unless you know for sure that it's a Maka. Lefi Shaisha Becheskas Tara Medes. afilu higia shas vest, a woman's considered bechaskas tara, and even if it's shas vesta, she's still considered bechaskas tara, because vestas are only the rabbanon, umisafeg al tasrena la'ola. So the starting point is that a woman has a cheskes tara. Take a look at the dog on Rebaba. Dog Rebaba writes on this shach. Vinei dinza upasha beroa machmas tashmish. Shazva the isha of cheskes tara. So if the reason for our orientation by damak is because of the cheskes tara of the woman, that makes sense. Like Roma Machmas Tashrish, because she's obviously Tahora, Shrei Shim Shem Baila. If we're talking about a woman's Tahora, Baraya, she's having Tashmish. Aval Baroa Shalom Machmas Tashmish, Bi'ira Bimei Tuma Ubimei Libuna. But what happens if we're not talking about the Roma Machmas Tashrish context, but the more practical context of a woman who sees Dam when she's Bimei Tuma? She sees Dam during Shivanakiyam. She has a problematic bidika, but that's potentially attributable to a maka. So maybe there, you wouldn't say that the woman is Becheskas Tahora. The Roma Machmas Tashmish is easy. There's the Becheskas Tahora, and that's what the Rashi was talking about. That's what the Shach's quoting. But how do you know that a woman who's in the middle of Shivanakiyam, or a woman who hasn't gotten to Shivanakiyam yet, who can't get there because she keeps on seeing Dam, and the Dam may be Damaka, how do you know that you have a right to be Talabimaka there at all? Piskei Tshuva, Sivkat and Kavdala, quotes this note of Yehuda. And he quotes, I am the Tshuva's Bris Avram, Bekuntras Piskei Nida, Sheherich lech lachlok al nadi huda bazeh, degabi me li buna becheskas taro medes. Then, no, a woman is halachically considered to be becheskas taro, even be me li buna, meaning even during Shiva Nikim. So this emerges partially from a Ramban. The Ramban in the first parak of Nida, the Daf Hey Amud Aleph. The Ramban there has a line that Vidika Sahasaka Shihimala Osami Tumma Litara Umosi Osami Chazaka Lechazaka Tzvicha Lios Vidika Meula Sheena Karel Lav Safi. So the Ramban writes that a hefsek tara, a woman who has her regular re'iyah, and now before beginning Shiva Nikiyam, she has to do a hefsek tara to establish that she stopped seeing Dam. So that hefsek tara is mozi asabi chazaka lechazaka. That hefsek tara is what transitions her from a cheskas tuma to a cheskas tara, which is why the Ramban says there are higher standards for that bidika of a hefsek tara than for other bidikas. After all, the Ramban says most of the bidikas of Shiva Nikiyam are li'ikuva, but hefsek tara definitely is li'ikuva. According to the Ramban, a woman is removed from Recheskas Tumah, or she transitions from Recheskas Tumah through a hefsek tara. So if you accepted that, so then the argument would be that you could be told of the damaka for Shiva Nikiyam, but you couldn't be told of the damaka for hefsek tara. And the Chavos Das writes, Simon Kuf Sadivav Sivkot and Gimel, that it's not just the hefsek tara, but you need a hefsek tara plus your day one bidika to be mosi her the cheskas tumah. And that's what the Sidur Tara writes as well, Kuf Sadivav Sif Katan Tesvav, Kutsarivav Tesvav, in English of Yaakov, that even, that's not against the Ramban, even for the Ramban, maybe it's a Hefsek Tara plus the first Bidika, because having at least one Bidika during Shiva Nikiyam is Likuva. So maybe you need the Hefsek Tara plus Bedika number one in order to be Mosi her Micheskes Tumah. That is what Rav Moshe assumes in Chela Gimel Simen Kuf. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf. The context of Rav Moshe is a woman who underwent a certain medical procedure, and that caused bleeding. So in that context, Rav Moshe assumes that you need to have, it's non-negotiable, that even if you have a damaka, you still have to have a clean hefsekara, and you have to have a clean first bedika in order to be motzi her mecheskas tamasa, and then you can negotiate what happens if you have a presentation that can be attributable to a maka on subsequent bedikas. But minimally, you need that hefsekara and you need the first bedika. Yeah, you want to
ask? I was going to ask about the days before. Were they calling them before Zion came? What are those days called? I was going to ask about what.
Locally referred to it as you may Nidus or you may Tuma as opposed to you may Libuna.
Okay, I was going to ask about that, but then I just said.
However, Chuas Avna Miluin. Yeah, in the back of the Avnei Luim, there are a number of Chuvas. So Chuvas Avnei Miluim, Simen Kaf Gimel, he assumes against the Chavasas, against the Sidri Tara, that a woman, technically speaking, is not considered, is Chazik Yisura, even before Hefsek Tara, even from the starting point. That she'd be considered on some level, B'cheskas Tara, even before Hefsek Tara. One of his rayas is from Tosas on that base in Gittin. I don't get to that base yet. So the 8F and then the Surin, so again, on base on the base. So as you all know, Tosas suggests that the source of 8F and then the Surin is Vesafrila. But then Tosas asks, what about if that's the case, that we learned from Vesafrila? So doesn't that tell you Eirachanem Yisurah, even Bishazik Yisurah? So says Tosos, V'yishlomar, De'ena b'cheskas shetei roa kosha, that even a need is not considered Bishazik Yisurah. Number one, she's not muchzekas, that she's going to be seeing Dan all the time. U'kisha'avr shiva tahor memela, and she doesn't have to do anything active, short of tefillah, at the end in order to get out of her tumah. Below is chazik yisura. V'gam biyada litvol. And tefillah is considered biyada. So that combination of factors is that she's not b'cheskas shiroa kol shah. She's not necessarily going to always see dam. And if biyada litvol wants a clock keeps on ticking, meaning she has to wait for neither the right, so you have to wait 7 days. But as long as the dam stops, and she's not becheska, she's going to be rowa dam the whole time. And it's true she has to go to the mikvah, but that's always biyada. So that combination of factors, Tosa says, is now considered to be chazik yisura. So the Avnei Miluim thinks, based on that, that on some level, a woman, even before performing hefsek tara, may not be considered becheskas. May not consider to be becheskas iser becheskas tuma. That may not impede her fundamental cheskas tara. And the Avnei Miluim says not to rely. Don't rely on that alone. Meaning, don't assume necessarily that that's, or even if you don't want to assume. And that's the case, Lamaisa, I mean, you're still choshesh, or you should still be concerned that a woman who hasn't yet undergone a hefsek tara is considered the cheskas tumah, she has no cheskas tara. But the Avnei Miluim says, practical solution to have your cake and eat it too, is that maybe you don't need a formal bedika in order to accomplish the minimum hefsek tara required to be mosi or mecheskas tumasa. Meaning, Avnei Miluim suggests, if a woman is conscious of the fact that she's not having any hargasha. So she's conscious of the fact that there's no hargasha that she could be tola that's associated with dam coming out. So maybe that consciousness is sufficient to be considered a hefsekara me'ikaradit. So as long as she's conscious of the fact that there's no hargasha that's associated with any dam, maybe Me'ikar Adin, that's the minimum requirement for a hefsetar. So even if a woman has dam coming out, if you can attribute that to a makwa, she's already tamea, she wants to be tahora, she's not going to get a clean hefsetara. But if you know the dam coming out is mimakasa, and she has a consciousness that there's no hargasha, there's no hargasha, as P.M. Makori says, so then maybe that's enough to be considered a hefsek tara, to allow her to continue with a tara process. Noah Behuda says something similar, kama yoridea simin nun tes, that could be considered a hefsek tara. So Rav Avadya writes, page Reish Lama Gimel under Reish Lama Dalid, that in a situation where there's no other option and a woman has no way of becoming tahora other than relying on this kula that has tahora, so he says it's a Noda Behuda, it's an Adna Miluim, and he points out it's a Chasam Sofer too. He says if you want to be Mako for these three Gedolei Hara, Yeshlo Amude Barzel Lismo Chalei. These are three big names that you have what to rely on. So Lamaisa, in these kinds of scenarios where you have a woman who has a known maka, we'll talk next time, Blinether, about what kind of makas are we talking about, Lamaisa, but you have a maka that is tola-able, and she's Tamea, and she can't get any clean bedikos. So the recommendation of contemporary poskim, Rabbi Karpos is from Rav Yosha, for example, is that option number one is you could have a medical professional do a bedika for you. In a way, if you know where the maka is, so you can do bedika and avoid putting any pressure on the makam hamaka, and that'll kind of stack the deck in your favor that you could get a clean bedika. So that could work for asatara. It could work for, in theory, bedikas and shivnakiyam, although in these situations we would generally recommend that dispense with most of the bedikas and shivnakiyam, either do 1-7 or 1 and 1 in the middle days in 7. Talk about all those cheshbonos when we get to those sugyas. In the Sefer Pua, so now Machon Pua is up to volume 4 of this series, and I have the first 3 volumes. So in Sefer Pua, where they collect Rabbi Bershin from Machon Pua, well, maybe he'll come this year. He was last year, the year before COVID, but I haven't given a shiur to this group last time he was here, and he spoke in the Beis Medrash, so very entertaining. So he hasn't been to America since before COVID. Maybe we'll come this year. But anyway, so he has he's malakid all the whole range of contemporary shitos and everything. But he quotes here on page 171 from Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, according to Lebracha. He says, if a woman knows that she has a maka and she needs to do a hefsek tara, so if, along the lines of what we saw in Siv Zayin, that Piskei Marai, a woman already has a track record, can establish a track record, that you always have, that she has dam consistently, let's say on the edge of the A Bedika, in a way that is clear that that dam is from a maka, then you can rely on that even for Hefsek Tara. If a woman does a Hefsek Tara where she's already Muchzekes, she has already a pattern that the dam from this Makkah is always on the side, it's attributable to that Makkah. So even if that dot shows up in a Hefsek Tara, then that would be considered a clean Hefsek Tara. And you could ignore that spot of dam that appears on the Eid Bedika. And that would be true for Shiva Nekiyim all the more so. And that's sufficient to be Motzi her Micheskas Tuma. Now, where you're going to have, if it's a situation where you go to a medical professional, or talk about next time, a bodeket tahara, who's trained to do this, to do that bedika for you, so then there may be worth relying also. Usually, a bedika we assume has to be done in the daytime, but mikra adin, a bedika at night may be kosher. So for these purposes, many posts can say that if you're going to this professional to do a Hefsek Tara, to do the Hefsek Tara before Shkia, wait around a little bit until it says, and then have it do another Bedika for your day one Bedika after it says, so you don't have to make another trip. So we'll maybe talk about that Ben Sheikh as well. And then you also have the possibility of, if push comes to shove, relying on the Nod Bihuda Udi'imei, I'm going to do Nod Bihuda, about a Hefsek Tara without doing a real Hefsek Tara. Rabbi Willard pointed out that if the Bodeket can look in and see that that there's no Dam coming out other than that Damaka, you could examine Osa Makam and see what's going on there, so maybe that's better than the Nod Bihuda. And that would be better for another Yudah, and that would be considered a Hefsek Tara as well without doing a formal Bedika. So, Mir Sashem, next time we'll talk about identifying what exactly is a Makkah for purposes of Tliya the Da Makkah. And then after that, we'll go on to briefly talk about probably the time after Nemanus of doctors and medical professionals. So if it's okay, we'll meet again on Sunday. Are you ahead of where we are, I hope? In Hechama? Good. Okay, so we'll meet again on Sunday and try to finish all this up. Sunday gets 2 o'clock. Excellent.
Are there, and he's just keeping these
components? Have you finished the microphone system,
Ray? Are there other ones on medical?
Yeah, I'll send, I could send that. I'm Nemanus Rofim. You saw the Chazanish's letter?
I also the thumbs over the other
one. Yeah. And you saw the Chazanish's letter?
The Chazanish, and then he really, the other guy. I think also the other two little thumbs over it, he has about two reasons for.
Yeah. And if you can make out the print in the Dvar Shmuel, we can take a look at the Dvar Shmuel.
Okay. Right.